You might like to turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 1, if you would, please. Romans chapter 1. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we bow head and heart in your presence. We thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you for your concern. We thank you for your ability to do all of that which is above and beyond all that we ask or think. So honor yourself, honor your word, honor the children, the nursery, and each thing, church time. And our God, we're going to thank you for all of it. In Christ's name, amen. In the book of Romans, if you would, in chapter 1, we are reminded in verse 20, or verse 19 for the sake of context, because that which may be known of God is manifest, made clear, public, plain, in them. For God hath showed it unto them. So remember, God makes himself known to all humans. And what they do with that knowledge is something else. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, a deity, so that they are without excuse. So all of creation says God is God. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, everyone, and verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They knew, and they didn't want to know. They chose not to know. Now, in order to put that a little bit in focus, if you would, think of the fact that we did, like last week, in 1 John, regular John, John 1. And in the light of that, we shared together that all, without language, without alphabet, without letters, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, without words, we don't have any words with no alphabet, we have no language, we have no letters, we have no human way to express, communicate, without language, without alphabet, without words. We have no way to communicate, no way at all. And thus the world around us, if they had no language, how would it be? And material and physically, how would you speak of anything? They were born into the world, and here's all the material things, and you have no language, you have no words, no alphabet. How would you handle the laws of science and medicine and everything? How would you handle them? You have no way to talk about them. How would you communicate to someone else? How would you communicate to somebody else? There's no way to communicate. You don't know how to communicate. You couldn't express yourself. You couldn't express a thought. A thought requires words, communication. You couldn't do it. You'd be totally stuck without language, without communication, without words. You'd be totally stuck. And I would remind you, when God created Adam and Eve, they had language, and they could speak and communicate. There was no written language, but they could speak clearly, communicate, and they understood each other and God, no question. So you don't want to think they're a bunch of stoops that don't know anything. In fact, they were highly, highly brilliant, Adam and Eve. And all humanity had this to start with, all the way down the road, down the line. Now, having said that, and thus apart from the words, and apart from words there are no thoughts. And thus, how do we know an infinite God? As finite people, how do we know an infinite God? A God who has no dimensions. You can't see, can't touch, can't taste, smell. Our senses are no good. Our sight is no good. Our understanding is inadequate. We cannot handle the infinite God. How, God, do you communicate to us your wonderful person? Well, God can do that in a most wonderful way, and he does it person to person. And thus he did it with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel, Moses. God communicated to them directly, you know, the Noah's day. Everyone knew God. There was no religion, no politics, just God. And everyone knew God. And they knew God. The Tower of Babel, everyone knew God. So it isn't a question of not knowing them. It's God, how to communicate. Well, God communicated that he was God, Romans 1, 19 and 20. That he's God. In other words, someone created us. Someone made us. There's someone else besides us, and that's God. He's an infinite God. Well, he's the invisible God, the immaterial. You can't handle him like you can earthly things. He's the invisible God in a most wonderful way. Thus, having said that, then take a moment with me and go, in the process of getting perhaps a picture of this, go back with me to Isaiah 55, Isaiah chapter 55. And in Isaiah chapter 55, if I may, picking up in thought, in Isaiah 55, you know and you are familiar with the statement God makes in verse 6, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." And they were to be mindful, which they were in reality. "For my thoughts," verse 8, "are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." And the word thought there, verse 7 and verse 8 and verse 9, thoughts, has to do with the weaving. Just think of the clothes you have on. They're woven. Some of them are woven. And a weaving, a tying together, a threading together, a weaving together of ideas, a texture, something you can put your hand on. A thought, something that is not a thread, a thought. You can put your hand on it, texture. A weaving, a spinning, to thread things together to make a weaving. That's the word, a thought. Now, and having said that, keeping that in mind, so is the word in verse 7 and 8 and 9, way, W-A-Y. And that has to do with a road, a journey, a manner. It has to do with the course of life, an action, the action we have, the undertakings we do in our daily living, a walking, an action, a behaving, you know, mentally, a mental conducting ourselves as we go down a day by day, hour by hour, a manner of life outworked in us. So now, having said that, a thought is a weaving. The ways have to do with how things are worked out, how they come together. The thought makes for the ways, the workings. Now, in the outworking of that, in all the undertakings of God, would you please note that, you can turn over to just a page or two, to Isaiah 53, and keep in mind now, remember we said, God said, "My ways are not your ways. My ways are higher than the heavens." So here's 53, Isaiah 53, verse 6. In the middle of that great passage on the Lord Jesus Christ and his crucifixion. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way." There's your word. the behavior, how we do, conduct of life. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. God, here we are. We have our own ways, that's right, and there are God's ways, our ways and God's ways. Hold your finger in Isaiah and go over to Psalm 92. Psalm 92. And in Psalm 92, pick up another thought that will help us. In Psalm 92, and in verse 5 directly, 92 and 5. O Lord, how great are thy works, thy thoughts, there's your word, the weaving, the texture, the spinning together, are very deep. They're very deep. Psalm 94, right next door, as it were. Psalm 94, verse 11. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of men, the thoughts that they are vanity. So here we are down here, and God is up there in thought, and God's thoughts are higher than the heavens. And to add to that, and you know, on your way back, going somewhat back, go over to Psalm 40. So you have the other side of the coin, Psalm 40, verse 5. Human thought is not God's thought in no way, shape, or form. Psalm 40, verse 5, God's thoughts are higher than the heavens. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts, your thoughts that are higher than the heavens, your thoughts which are to usward, your thoughts which are higher than the heavens are about us, include us. They cannot be reckoned up or calculated or computed in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered, as you know, we looked at it, more than the sand of the sea. So God, you think about us more than the sand of the sea. Your thoughts are higher than the heavens. Wonderfully, wonderfully higher than the heavens. God. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, back over to Isaiah 55, but turn the page to 59 for a moment to get the other side of it. Thy ways, thy works, thy thoughts. Isaiah 59. God, why don't we understand? Doesn't Israel know and understand? You, your infinite being. Verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. It isn't a problem of saving you. It isn't a problem of hearing you. But your iniquities, your guilt, your punishment have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. He will not hear. Now, and then it goes to list the sin. What is it like? What are they doing that keeps the cloud between them and the sunshine? What is it that they can't see? They can't see God, can't understand God. Skipping down if I can. In verse 4, none calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity. All thoughts of vanity, we just read. They speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity, iniquity, iniquity. They hatch cockatrices, eggs, adder's eggs, used of a snake, and eggs, that was their thinking in that day. They use a cockatrice eggs, adder's eggs, weave the spider's web. They make a garment out of a spider's web and say, let's see if it'll hold. And you know it doesn't hold. No. He that eateth their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Verse 6, their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, trouble, wickedness, and the act of violence, and an act of violence is in their hands. They run to evil and they make haste. They shed innocent blood. Their thoughts, their thinking, their weavings together, like spider webs, are thoughts of iniquity, trouble, wickedness. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. So humanly, human thoughts are down below. My thoughts, God said, are not your thoughts. Thank God that God doesn't think like we do. God knows how we think, but he doesn't think like we do. So looking to God, trusting in God, dealing with God. In Isaiah 55, my thoughts and my ways are not your ways. Now, to understand that he is God. Now, in order to get a little thought that he is God, and his thoughts and his ways are not like ours. He thinks differently. His ways, how he handles things, how he handles his behavior, his outworking of creation is different, higher than the heavens. Now, what are we to know? God, we're to come and without faith, Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to what? To please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Our starting point is God. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You start with God. No matter what you do, no matter how you do it, in word, home, work, home, school, play, any thought you have, you want to remember there's a God. You want to remember that he is. He is God, the wonderful, wonderful God, whose ways and thoughts are higher than the heavens. Therefore, we're seeking, what are we told to do? We're to seek to understand that which is not understandable. We're to seek to know and understand that which is not knowable, the infinite God. But we're commanded, encouraged, stimulated to know him, to pursue that, to know that which is unknowable, God, his infinite person. You see, you speak of love, joy, hate, all those words, and they're little words, little four-letter words in this case. Wow. But when you go to God, you have to take the little four-letter word and our little thought about God, like that, and it becomes infinite, because God is love. Now you're going to absorb love. Love is God. God is love. Wow, infinite. All we can do is be encouraged and stimulated to know the unknowable, to experience and exercise and enjoy the unknowable God, who's knowable, you see. Now, having said that, he is the uncaused cause of everything, all that there is. He has no beginning. He has no ending. He has no starting point. He has no ending point. He has no succession of days. There's no Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. There's no days with God. There's no time with God. God doesn't have 10 hours, 11, 12 o'clock. God doesn't go by time. There's no succession. There's no movement of things. No movement. No. Humans have our physical, mental things we try to do. And we try to look and look out and we see things changing all the time. But God doesn't change. God never changes. See? And now we're trying to deal with a God who never changes. And what we know is we live in a world of change. Our bodies are changing. Everything we have about us is changing, isn't it? The skin's falling off. Your body's reproducing itself. The body you had, the liver you had yesterday, is gone tomorrow. The whole thing is in flux. Straight, great state of flux, movement. Now, so, God, here we are looking as humans. You are perfect, that's right. Perfection. So you don't need to, perfection doesn't need to change. Doesn't need to change. You are omniscient, God. That's right. You know everything. You know everything all at once. There's nothing you need to know. What don't you know, God? Nothing. I know everything. Know everything all at once. And we're supposed to understand you. That's right. My thoughts and my ways, since I know everything at once, since I'm a perfect God, since I understand that I am an ever-present God, I am always everywhere. I am always everywhere, wonderfully so. I am present here. I'm present in the middle of India, in the middle of Africa, in the middle of Europe, in the middle of South America. I'm there where every human being is, where every human being isn't. I'm there. I'm there in my wonderful presence. I want you to know that I have my own lexicon. Words, meaning of words. I don't use your lexicon, I use mine. I need to know that, God, because I'm trying to take my lexicon and handle you. My lexicon and you, God. Well, if you leave me out, you're not going to go anywhere. You know, I have my own lexicon. I give my own definition to words. I do. My own definition. Science and everything. Science, laws, math, rules, laws, going to the moon. I have all of those laws and I use them. They're mine. I use them based on my thoughts. My thoughts are perfect and my laws are perfect and my truth is perfect. And I use that. You use your human, earthly thoughts. God uses his in a most wonderful. God takes a special flower somewhere in these hills and mountains. You'll see them, hear, read about them. And up there in the middle of Iceland, when there's nothing, and there's a little flower growing, a rare flower. We say, what is it doing there? God, no one sees it. That's right, God put it there. And there's that little bug in the desert, a little bug. There's no life in the desert, just sand and sand and lots of sand. That's good there's a lot of sand, because I want to remember there's a lot of sand in the desert, because God, you think about me more than all this sand. So in my desert experience, I am encouraged. But God, you put a little bug out there. No one sees the bug. No one understands the bug. God, you made that bug. You can make little and big. You made all the galaxies. You did them all. You have no calendar. No calendar comes to pass. There's no time, as we mentioned. Everything is outworked. Seasons, times, all of that is outworked based on your thoughts. Based on your thoughts. We understand time, the rising of the sun, the setting of the sun. We understand the winter, fall, spring, summer. We understand time. We don't understand eternity, God. We don't understand infiniteness, God. We don't understand that. God, you communicate. You communicate to us in your word. You give us great detail on some things and no detail on other things. That's right. I do it according to my thoughts. God, here you are. You give us silence. And in your silence, we read in like a book of Esther or whatever it is, among other things of life, God, like to John the Baptist, and God said, I don't say anything. Will you trust me when I don't say anything? And in the silence of God for the listening ear, boy, is it loud. Boy, is it loud, God. And so the wonderfulness of God, the details of God, detail after detail is missing, and yet it's there. God, you are absent. You use your own language, nouns, verbs, and etc. You use them. You have your own grammar. You have your own thoughts. And your own thoughts are higher than all else. Now, God, just try to get it. God, you are different. That's right. And that's why your thoughts are higher. So I'm going to understand, God. Well, I'm not thinking about me. I'm not trying to compare you to a human. I'm not going to do that. It won't work. No, it won't work. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. God, you require us to trust you and know you. And you went through Moses and the prophets and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and you gave your word. You gave your word. They wrote what you said, God. And thus, God, we've got you, you're there, but we're missing something, God. God said, let me give you another piece. And God said, I'm going to give you the peace that puts it all together. Now, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. How so? He did. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Now God spoke yesterday by the prophets, today by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he made the world. So God, you've appointed Christ as the way, the person, to help us know your person. And we shared that last time. Now, back over to John, Gospel of John chapter 1 for a moment. Gospel of John chapter 1. God, you're going to make yourself clear, invisible. How can we know your thoughts and your ways? You've given them to us by the prophets. That's true. And you wrote them down. That's true. God, help us some more. God said, all right, I did. I told you, Genesis 3:15, I'm going to send my son. So everyone be encouraged. I'm going to send my son. And then the scriptures that follow. Now, John chapter 1 and in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. So, God, the Word, the eternal existence of God. The Word was God. The Word was with God, face to face, the little word W-I-T-H, face to face with God, not God the Father, God the Son. And the Word was God. The same, this one, the same, was in the beginning with God. So, who are we talking about? The Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All things from the beginning, the Word was there. God, your Word, that's right. Your wonderful, wonderful Word, face to face, God, you're working. To affirm Genesis, John 1, 1, 2, and 3. To affirm your deity. To have no question in our mind that you're God. God, before anything ever was, you are God. So we're going to look to you, God, to help us. So, now, in the light of that, you're going to expose yourself in the person of Jesus Christ, the Word. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God, you're going to make known who you are. That's right. I'm going to show you. I created you persons, not bugs and not angels. I made you so that you would be in the image and likeness, my image and likeness, so that you could be able to know and be able to say, as I do, I am, I ought, and I will. We're able to say that. Thus, God, you are, you're right. I am, I will, I ought. I'm morally responsible. Now, so here, in the light of that, John 1, 1, 2, and 3, God, your thoughts, you're going to express your thoughts. Now, how are you going to express your thoughts? I'm going to put a person in front of you, the Son of God, the God-man, the Christ of the God. I'm going to put him in front of you. And so therefore, he will reveal, he will make known to you, a person to your person, your thoughts, his thoughts, your ways, his ways. I'm going to make known to who I am to you in a very special way so you won't lose it. Understand now. You're a person, and I want you to know the revelation, the unveiling of our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you go, please, over to John 1, 18, down there while you're looking. God, you're going to present yourself in Christ. That's right. So you want to know what God is like? Look at his Son. You want to know how God thinks? His Son. You want to know how God acts? His Son. The Word become flesh. God, can you communicate to us so that we can understand? Remember, we used the illustration in a bit ago there. If you were a creator and you lived in the world, and the ants, little ants crawling on the ground down there, and you were in charge of the ants, and you wanted to tell them that you're very much on the ball, you're watching everything, making sure they have everything they need and don't need. And you want them to see that, the ants are worried about the survival and success. And you try to tell them, the ant can't understand you up there. So what do? You became an ant. So that you can come down and talk to them as an ant to ant talk. And you went and talked to the ant. And you talked to the ant and told the ant the wonderful things. That you were the creator of the ants, the guardian of the ants, the custodian of the ants. And the ants said, you're crazy. You're an ant. Ah, I became an ant. So that you would know. God, you became and put on human flesh so that we could know. We could know. Now, and we crucified him. That's what we did with him. You can't be. But he is. The Word become flesh. Verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. He only, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, in the chest of the Father, in the hollow of the Father, out of God the Father comes. The Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son. He hath declared, the word declared, to cut, the word cut and then emphasis, to tell, to cut, to declare, to tell thoroughly, evenly, explain, absolutely clearly, so there's no question. The word became flesh to make it clear, to explain. Verse 18, God brings out, makes God clear, the Creator God, the Savior God. He makes it very clear to us so that we don't have to be in the dark. The ant became a clear ant. God became a person, a perfect person in front of us. Now, what are we going to, God's trying to tell us something because we're trying to understand an invisible God that we can't understand because he's infinite. That's right. And we're finite, little ants, little people. And God, how are you going to do it? Well, God said, I'm going to help you understand. You can't know the infinite God. My thoughts and ways are higher than the heavens. You could never do it. But I'm going to bring it down so you can. I'm going to bring it into place. I made you to enjoy who I am. You won't enjoy who I am unless you know my thoughts and my ways. I'm going to help you to know who I am in my thoughts and ways. Here's my Son. He's a person, the perfect person, the God-man. He will make it for you, make it easy forever, forever for you to know the wonderful person that I am, God in Christ. Wow. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, Revelation 1:8. Revelation 1 and verse 8. God makes it known. Otherwise, we couldn't have the foggiest idea about God. You can have all the religions in the world. What are you going to do? We're going to make him Zeus? He isn't a Zeus. He isn't a Jupiter. He isn't a Mercury. He isn't any of that. You know. You're going to make him an idol or make him any god. We don't know what to do, God. That's right. That's right. John, the revelation of John, chapter 1. If I may, in verse 8, the Lord Jesus said very clearly, simply, remember, look at verse 1, Revelation 1, the revelation, the unveiling, the uncovering of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's been crucified, risen, and John said, let me tell you, let me give you some more help about who he is. Now that you've seen him, taste, remember, hold your finger here. Over to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, 1 John 1, 1. That which is from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, and our eyes have, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. John 1:18, he declares the Father. That's right. He declares the Father. The revelation of God. That's the purpose of Jesus Christ. To know God. To know God. God, what are you like? Look at my Son. That's why there can be no other way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. There can't be any other way. There is no other way. God, you haven't done it any other way. There's only one way to get to you, and that's your way. And you put yourself and displayed yourself in the person of the Word become flesh. So that we can know you. Any other way, any other thought misses you. Revelation 1:8. I am Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the ending of the alphabet. We would say A and Z. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I am the forever God who is I am forever, ever and ever. I am the beginning and I am the end. By the way, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and I want you to know that I have understanding and words and vocabulary and a way to express my being. And therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to give expression to give an experience for you to hear and understand my thoughts. By the way, I'm the beginning and the ending. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. If you want to understand, you'll have to look to me. Verse 11, saying, what do you say? I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book. That's why we have the written word of God, because the Lord Jesus Christ, God, sent it. In the Old Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ never balked at what you have in your Old Testament. He never did. He said, this is what it says. So you don't have to worry about that. And then the Lord Jesus said, I am the Word. He is the Word. He speaks wonderfully. Speaks God. And God said, now listen, I'm going to finish. And thus, I'm going to give each one. I'm going to tell them what to write. And they are my penmen. They write for me. John, the Apostle John, the last living apostle, is going to say, God says to him, I'm the beginning and the ending, the first and the last. I'm the A and the B. I'm the A and the Z of the alphabet. Right. Verse 11. Over with me, if you would, to verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I'm the first and the last. So you want to understand, I'm the invisible God. I'm the first and the last. I'm the beginning and the ending. I started it all. I end it all. I bring it all together. Revelation 21. Go all the way to the end. Revelation 21. Revelation chapter 21. And you'll pick up, please, in thought. God, you're going to say it again before you close the book. You're not going to say any more till you come. That's right. 21, verse 5. He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. I want you to write it down. So we read it over in chapter 22, verse 13, 12 and 13. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last. I'm the whole ball of wax. I'm it, you see. My thoughts aren't your thoughts. My thoughts are higher than the heaven. How I do things are higher than the heavens, way beyond you. I don't work with your standards. I don't work with your ignorance. I use it. I understand it. God, thus, 1 John, on your way back, 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. The alphabet, the letters, all of them are to bring us to God. Bring us to God. Do you realize another way that you can get a handle on this thing? Do you understand? Would you tell me what... Now, you know the Library of Congress has a lot of books, 90 million or who knows how many million. They keep making them. And they have a copy of all the books, you know. The Alexandria Library, the Egypt Library, Europe Libraries, Rome Libraries. Would you tell me what book would exist if there was no alphabet? What book? Would there be a book? Could there be a book? No! You have to have alphabet. You have to have words, thoughts. God, you gave them. God gave it to Adam right off, so there's no ball question about that. But here we are, down the road, we have our thoughts, and they get finite. They get like spider web. We try to weave them together, and we get a garment that isn't any good. We try to get it together and it doesn't come out good. We try to work out our laws and our governments and our politics and our wars and everything else. And we try to work out life, societal life, community life. And we try to do it. It doesn't work. We don't do very well. Not for very long. Thus, 1 John 5:13. These things have I written. Remember, we said it 1,000 times. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. These are written. That's why you read them. That's why you rest in them, because God has given them. God You gave the way to communicate. You did the way to communicate. You gave the letters. You did all of that so that we could know you could bring us to your person and your person to us. And we can't do it, God, without language, without alphabet, without some way for our thought to be put in some form that we can understand. G-O-D, God. And then it expands infinitely. That's right. And we honor you, God. We know we can't know all of you. You're infinite. But we start with that which we know is infinite. That's you. And in the beginning, God, there you are. And that helps us. You give us ways to understand the infinite. Your wonderful person. Your wonderful love. Infinite. Wonderful joy. Infinite. Wonderful peace. Infinite. God, how can we come to grips with you? Grace. Mercy. God, God, in Christ, by way of our Lord Jesus Christ, he makes it possible so that in believing, we are able to understand that which is incomprehensible. We're able to understand that which is incomprehensible by comprehending it, you say. And we're able to say, and God holds us to that over in 1 John, etc., you ought to be able to say, in your heart, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I know God as my personal Savior. I know God as my personal Savior, whose ways and thoughts are higher than the heavens. I know that. I know that. Wow. These are written so that I can know. God, you've given us your thought. You've given us your Son so that we could know. We could have an understanding. And thus, for a person, to have a real and right understanding of God requires you. How are we going to know the alphabet? You are the alphabet. Alpha and Omega. God, you said you're the alphabet. How are we to know the words? Well, you said you've given us your word. So if we close the Bible, we have no alphabet, we have no words. No words, no words. And God, we try to talk to you unless you help us. And so God, you've written your word. And so we can read it. And understand it and rest in it. Wonderfully so. John chapter 7, the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John chapter 7. And may I go directly in the light of the context? Remember, there it's halfway into the Feast of the Tabernacles. The Lord Jesus Christ, they're wondering, the leaders are wondering, where is Jesus? It is the week of the Feast of the Tabernacle, and they don't see him. And then he comes in the middle of the week. He enters Jerusalem, where the Feast of the Tabernacle is. Now, so they're wondering. And thus, verse 11, then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? Skipping down to verse 14. Now, about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught them. He taught them, teaching them. That's right. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, A, B, C, D? How does this man know letters, having never learned? You have to learn letters. You have to learn them. That's right. He never went to rabbinical school. He isn't a rabbi. He isn't one of us. He didn't go to any school. How can he do this? Ah. Verse 16, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine or teaching is not mine, but he that sent me. If any man will do his will, do you want to know? If you want to know God, listen to what I tell you, and you'll know God. If you want to understand God, trust me, look to me. If you trust me, you're going to know, because you cannot know me without knowing the Father. You cannot know me without knowing the Father. Trust me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine and the teaching, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. For he that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh the glory, his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. In other words, if you're going to go, these are Jewish people now. These are teachers. Now, what do you know about rabbinical teachers? Well, you know this. The rabbinical teacher to be a great teacher, G-R-E-A-T, great, great teacher. In order to be a great teacher, you have to have been taught by a great teacher. And you are noticed as a great teacher because you came from the school. You came from the sitting in front of the great teacher some way back here, and you are reflecting the great teacher's thoughts. And the great teacher sat with somebody else, and the great teacher was with somebody else, and the great teacher was with Moses, and Moses is with God. And the Jews understood clearly that Moses is just a penman, and the Jews understand Moses wrote the word of God. And no question to the Jews, a great teacher taught Moses, God. And the Lord Jesus said, well, let me help you. My teacher isn't me, it's God. That's why you pay attention to me. I represent the word of God to people out there. I have the greatest teacher. And I, in my perfect humanity, represent the greatest teacher. All the words and all the works that I say are God's. Is that not true? He will say it all of his life. From day one, he never missed a beat, never missed a trick, never failed, morning, noon, and night. All his words and all his works were God's. That was his purpose, to make God known. What is God like? Listen to my words. What is God like in handling things? Watch what I do. See? Now, the Word became flesh. Aha. Wonderfully, wonderfully so. And so God, you've given us a wonderful thing. Now, over, if you would, in closing. Matthew chapter 11. And you'll please note, going directly, and remember now, Matthew chapter 11 chronologically has to do when the time Israel is unbelieving, Israel is in rejection, times are very bad, the general populace and the leadership are not believing, rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. And thus he makes this offer. Offer in verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn. Get your learning from me. I am the source. Get your learning. And we get our word mathematics from this word. To learn. Mathematics. A learning, as it were. And thus, get your learning. I'm the source. I'm the ABCs. I am. I want you to go to school. Where am I going to go to school? You're going to go with God. I'm going to trust you, God. Going to look to you, God. How am I going to learn about you, God? By looking to me. By looking to the Lord Jesus. Learn who I am. I am God. My words and my works, my witness is God. There's no way. No way. Everything I say, everything I do, bears witness to who I am. God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God. The Word is God. The Word was with God. That's right. So what? So we can understand an infinite God in a finite way. Wow. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. So God, here we are, we're going to take that yoke. And remember, yoke goes over the two sides. One side goes with the one of the oxen, and the other part goes in the other oxen, and the lead oxen, usually, the lead oxen gets the young ox to learn to move together in sequence, in sync, down the pathway, and the doing the work. So God, boy, a yoke, that's right. That's a standard expression for all disciples, for a good citizen. Yoke. Historically, a yoke. You put your head under the yoke. That's what it is. That means you're an adherent, someone who's trusting. You're committed. Once the yoke is around your neck, and you know there's the bottom part, There's the pot that goes on top, and then I can go over and look at my living room, my grandfather's yoke, a farm from the ox, and you slide the other one up underneath, you know. You're held in there. You're held in there. See? Well, boy, that's restrictive. You bet it is. You're an adherent. And by the way, the word learn is the word we get from, we get disciple, a disciple, a follower. Be my disciples. You cannot be my disciple. That word is from this. Now, having said that, wow. So God, what am I saying? Well, you are the author of our relationship. Uh-huh. The subject of our relationship is you. That's right. You are the teacher, and it's your purpose. You're going to teach us not what we wish, but what is to be taught and what we are to understand. That's correct. The way, there's a way, a wrong way. There's your way and my way. My way is a bless, benefit, blessing. Your way is not good. Sin and its consequences. You don't want to do that. There's no other way. God, we're going to look to you and exercise our heart before you, God, we're going to do that. And we aren't going to be coerced, God. We're cooperating, God. You don't coerce us. Nope. I give you the freedom to willfully agree with me and honor me. I will not make you do that. I will make the world do that. I'll make things happen contrary to what people want. But you will not honor me unless you honor me with your heart, with your will. And that's why all of history, with all of the good, the millennium and all of the wonderful thing, they don't get saved. Tribulation, you don't get saved. Millennium, don't get saved. The age of grace, you don't get saved. Because it's a heart problem. It's a heart problem. Now, God, so here we are looking to you. That's right. And in the midst of it all, God, in the midst of it all, we're going to take a mathematical, remember, figure me out, learn of me. Add me up, add up the blessings, the benefits, and the bliss. Subtract all the losses. Subtract your littleness. Subtract your limitedness. Subtract it. Multiply all the grace and truth. Divide up all the parts. And when you do, what are you going to do? Each grain is the sand of the sea. I think of you. Divide it all up and look at it. In the whole thing, an individual. That's me, said God. Learn of me. Magnificent God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we are yoked to you. That's right, yoked, yoke, yoke. You know, it's very low to be yoked, isn't it? You know, if you were yoked like that and said, oh, I'm a disciple. People didn't like that. I'm a believer and I'm obedient to God. I want to honor him. I want his wonderful will for my life. And I've linked myself up to the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior so that I could go down the corridor of time with success. I want to be able to live my daily life in the midst of hard things and difficult things and people, persons, places, problems. I want to be able to live in that world successfully, God. I do. And thus it's very low. So other people, they aren't going to do that. No. And when you're down very low, it actually is very high because you're dealing with God. You're walking with God. We're told to walk with God. When we walk with God, dear friends, I don't know what else could be better to walk with God. And it's the loneliest. So if you want to say, well, I'm going to have a lot of friends and everyone's going to like me. No, they aren't. Not even believers. Be of good cheer. They aren't going to do it. No. It's lonely. I mean, you're under yoke. You're with him. If other people don't want to be with him, you aren't going to find them. They don't want to be with him. They don't want to be with that God. You want to be with that God. You've chosen that God as your Savior and God. You want to know the infinite. You want to understand the infinite by way of being, in God's grace, finite. And so God, do a wonderful work in my heart. Wonderful work in our heart. I didn't do a wonderful work for you. I wish I could have done this better. I just want you to understand that God is infinite and God has made it possible for us to know him. In the person of Jesus Christ, the Word. In the beginning was the Word.
And the Gospel of John is about God. The Gospel of John is about God in Christ, so you could understand. Wonderfully simple. Awesomely profound. Huh. Yeah. I got to tell you.
I'm not interested.
You don't have to be. You don't have to be. You can be a plain dud. How's that?
You can flunk out. You don't know anything. Or you want to know. And then you become peculiar because you want to know. I want to grow. I want to be God.
You have made it possible for me to know you as my friend. Oh, no. As my father. Ah, yes. As a son. Ah, yes. As a son. As a saint. Yeah. Set apart for you. God, and you know without, oh, I wish I had time to tell you, all the things in the Psalms, think of it. It isn't. What can we do on earth to have more and better? No, it's all about an understanding of the human heart to want to know, God, you are something else. And I'm waiting. I'm here, but I'm waiting to be there to understand who you are in a wonderful way. So my journey on earth is minimal, you see. Now, our God and Father, we look to you to deal with our heads and hearts and help us. Thank you very much for the patience of the people. And God, what can we say? Thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are and what you do for us. God, we owe you. Thank you very much. And for those who know you not as Lord and Savior, convict, convince them that they might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And our God will thank you. God, we don't want to be religious. We want to enjoy the rightness that comes with the reality of who you are. God, let it be so. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you for that. You might want to turn.